ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
But he said, I'm still struggling with this. And I sent him a letter just the other day. I said, you know, think about it like this. Before I married my wife, I went out with other women. Not that many. But I went out with other women. When I married my wife, I turned away from that lifestyle, and my life is now focused upon her. Well, isn't that true when we come to Christ? We were living out in the world. All these other gods that were out there, we were after. But now we've come to Christ, we've repented, we've done an about face, we're totally surrendered to Him. That's really what repentance is. You turn from your old ways, your sinful ways, you're repenting of them and you're coming to Christ. That's what the early church taught in regard to salvation, that you need to repent and ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life. Because again, without repentance, do you not need to repent? Are you that good of a person? Why do you need Jesus if you're that good? You're not. Well, look at verse 22. And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. So Paul is talking about the present. He's talking about his personal feelings, the things he went through. You read this and it almost sounds like God's telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. And there are some who find fault even with Paul going to Jerusalem because of these warnings he received. Not at all. What I see is a man who was warned ahead of time by the Holy Spirit of what was going to happen to him. The chains and tribulations await him. That's all he knows. And, you know, could you imagine? Think about it. If the Lord said to you, I want you to go here and you need to understand that chains and tribulations await you when you get there. Lord, you want Steve to go where? Not me, right? You're going to send him. You see, Paul doesn't think that way. And it's not always easy. But when we start looking at things through the human eyes, we get discouraged, we get scared, we're afraid, fear causes us not to do things that God wants us to do. And Paul, he doesn't look at it through the eyes of man, he looks at it through the eyes of God. And he says, nothing is going to stop him. None of these things move me. I know what's ahead, but it's not going to move me. And David said in Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me, because he's at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. You know, it wasn't that David was so strong. No one's going to move me. No, the Lord's here with me. No one's going to touch me. He's going to see me through this, whatever it may be. How could Paul say these words? Very simply, he didn't count his life, his physical life, as important to him. He was not trying to live forever in this physical body. And let you in on a little secret, and this won't cost you any more. You're not going to live forever in this physical body. And that's a good thing. Yeah, praise God. Because, man, I get up in the morning after sleeping and I hurt more. That should not be. It should be restful. I don't know what's going on. It's just getting old. But here's the thing. That's why Paul could say, none of these things move me. He knew where he was going. That when this physical body went back to the dust of the earth, he was going to be with the Lord. Simple as that. And here's the thing that we have to think about. Is the gospel we're preaching, is the gospel we're sharing with people, is it worth dying for? Of course it is, because it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Well, people put their faith in all kinds of different gospels, you might say. The gospel of save yourself through good works. Yeah, that doesn't work. the gospel of social action and improvement. No. It makes people better and for a short period of time, but what about eternity? They're not prepared to meet their maker. What about the gospel of religious traditions? Well, they keep changing. They're not going to save anyone. What about the gospel of mystical mumbo-jumbo? That's a real, yeah, mumbo-jumbo. No. Gospel of self-esteem, political correctness. Oh, yeah. I missed that one. Spurgeon put it like this. He kind of sums it up, and I like what he says. He said, "Yet there used to be a gospel in the world which consisted of facts which Christians never questioned. There was once in the church a gospel which believers hugged to their hearts as if it were their soul's life. There used to be a gospel in the world which provoked enthusiasm and committed sacrifice. Tens of thousands have met together to hear this gospel at peril of their lives. Men, to the teeth of tyrants, have proclaimed it and have suffered the loss of all things and gone to prison and death for it, singing psalms all the while. Is there not such a gospel remaining?" That was in Spurgeon's days. What a great question. And I haven't recently looked at this, the evolution of magazines, but when you look at it, it's kind of interesting. Way back in the 1950s, remember Life. In the 60s, it was People. In the 70s, Us. In the 80s, Self. Wow. Have we changed or what, huh? It's all about me. You know, you don't hear much about selfies anymore, but remember how popular that was. Everyone was taking selfies. That's the craziest thing. And I'm sure they still do it, but you just don't hear it as much anymore. But can we be so caught up with ourselves that we're no use for God? We need to be careful. Paul, he was open to the Lord. He had compassion for people. It brought him to tears. And yeah, there were trials in his life, tears that he shed. But he was focused not on himself. He was focused on others. And he taught the people the things of God. He didn't hold back. And Paul, he wanted to finish this race strong. He was not just in the race. He wanted to finish the race that was set before him. And he didn't complain or grumble about it. He wanted to finish the race with joy. How could he do that? Because of what God gave him, the grace of God to share with others. How could you complain when God has given you that? Now, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." You know, how did he do in that race? He was able to say in 2 Timothy, when he was in prison, getting ready to be put to death by Nero, he said, "I am already being poured out as a drink offering. No, my life is over. My departure is at hand. I'm pulling up stakes. The sail's set. I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." May we, at the end of our lives, be able to say, you know, we finished this race of faith with joy. We finished it. We have fought the good fight. We've kept the faith. We finished the race. And Paul's telling these guys, man, this is my last meeting before you. I'm not going to see you anymore until we get to heaven. And he says, "Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men." You think, well, how could Paul say that? How could he say that? Why would he say that? Because in verse 27 here in Acts 20, he said, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." Paul was a watchman warning the people of the coming judgment of God if they don't repent and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And he shared the word of God. Not just some of the word of God. Not just most of the word of God. He gave them the whole counsel of God, verse by verse, expository preaching. He didn't pick up on the hot topics of the day. He covered all the issues, even the controversial ones. And that, I'm not sorry to say, it should be the heart of every pastor. And it's my desire. You know, we're going through almost the second time through the entire word of God. The whole counsel of God. And some will say, you know, people are not interested in that today. And if you really want to grow your church, you have to entertain them. Don't deal with those controversial issues. It causes people to leave. It upsets them. My response is simple. It's what Paul told Timothy, a young pastor. He said, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Because the time is going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they're going to heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, fairy tales. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. There are many today who are not fulfilling their ministry because they are not teaching their people the word of God. Now you think, well, come on, is it really that important? Is it that important to take people through the word of God? Well, let's read on. Look at verse 28. You'll see. Paul said this, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So Paul's speaking about the future, after his departure. And he's giving them a warning, the warning to the churches of the dangers that false teachers and false doctrine bring into the church. And please understand that the pastor, the shepherd of a church, is not here just to give a message and to go. He is responsible for the sheep that God has entrusted to them. And to drive that point even more, Paul says that these sheep, Jesus, purchased with his own blood. Are you willing to sacrifice them because of your laziness or whatever? God gave his life for the sheep. And you need to do the same. You need to care for them. Peter said in 1 Peter 5, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And Paul's life was an example to these men. And he's admonishing them to do as he's done, to watch over them, to watch over the sheep, to care for the people God has placed before them, the ones he purchased with his own blood. You know, it's an awesome and humbling responsibility, but I understand the Holy Spirit gives us the power for the work that he's called us to do. Why is it important? Well, he says in verses 29 and 30 here in Acts 20, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. So a shepherd is to watch over the sheep. He's to feed the sheep so they're not going to fall prey to false doctrine and the false teachers that are outside the church and some that are inside the church, Paul says. He's to warn the sheep of the dangers that are out there, not avoiding them or ignoring these issues. And that goes on a lot in the church today, the avoidance or ignoring, so you don't offend anyone, you don't hurt anyone's feelings. What about the Lord? You know, did you ever think about that? Are you dishonoring him and what he's called you to do? I realize that some get upset over this because, and I've experienced this myself with people getting mad at me because they think that calling things out is unloving. But you know what? It's unloving not to warn people of the false teaching and the false teachers that are out there. It shows you don't care. And Paul wasn't bashful about this. He mentions five by name in his epistles. Hymenaeus twice, Alexander, Hermogenes, Phrygellus, and Diotrephes. Why? Because he loved the sheep so much that he didn't want them to fall prey to these false teachings and these false teachers. That's why. There are wolves out there who want to devour them. And the wolves are disguised as shepherds. There's a danger. Be careful. How do you know them? By the words they say. How do they add up to the word of God? Paul spent 3 years teaching them, warning them of these things, He's trying to protect them. And here in Acts chapter 20, he warns these shepherds of these wolves coming in to destroy the sheep. Be careful. Just listen to what they're teaching. Listen to what they're saying. They bring division, chaos to a body. And it's not only those from the outside. Within the church, Paul's warning them. There are going to be those who are going to rise up and try to destroy the sheep. And how do you tell them? Because they're going to try and draw people to themselves. Oh, come here. I've got something for you. I will warn you of the wolves that are out there, even saying names if need be. I'll protect you from the wolves that may arise from within the church. And that may seem harsh. But these are the people God has, you are the people that God has entrusted to me. He shed his blood. He's made me as the overseer of the church. And if I allow false teaching and false doctrine to come into the church, I'm responsible. I'm sorry. I don't care who I offend. I'm not going to offend him. I'm responsible before him. And if I didn't watch over, if I didn't expose these things, it would show that I don't care for you, that I don't love you, that we'll just let everyone do whatever they want. That's not going to happen. This isn't a popularity contest. How many people like me? I'll guarantee you, I can accept every false doctrine that is out there and people will still not like me. So if people are doing it for a popularity reason, that's foolishness. And you know what? Again, do you fear man or do you fear God? So in humility and teaching with tears and trials, I shepherd the flock of God that God has entrusted to me, the one he's purchased with his blood. The word perverse, when he speaks of perverse things here, means to distort or to twist. False teachers twist God's truth for their own perverted ends. They draw away is from a Greek word that could be translated to drag away or tear away. So the shepherd has to be vigilant, and he warns the wolves will drag their sheep away to devour them. Oh yeah, isn't that what happens? Yeah. So these shepherds, Paul says, man, these sheep are in your hands. Care for them. Watch over them. Paul also commends these pastors to God's word. Remember what the apostle said in Acts 6:4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Prayer and the teaching of God's word is the primary ministry of the shepherd. Not the only thing he does, but it's his primary thing. And Paul concludes this teaching to these elders, and he's leaving them an example. He said, he tells them, look, I provided for myself. I provided, take care of, I didn't even ask for anything. And he wants them, look, you guys take care of yourself. Provide for yourself, your family. Don't take advantage of the people. I can't remember the guy's name who wants, you know, the Learjet. You know, the... Yeah, thank you. Craziness. A Learjet. I'll just take, you know, a propeller plane. I'll take a wind-up glider. Yeah, good luck with that, right? That's how crazy it is, though, right? Aren't we supposed to be using the resources that God has entrusted to us to build up the kingdom of God? Not to build up our... you know, jets and houses and all these things. I can tell you, over the last 23 years, God has always provided for my family. He's always taken care of us. So I don't worry about those things. Just listen to how Paul closes this. Just look at verse 32 here in Acts 20. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. I remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, here's a question. When did Jesus say it's more blessed to give than to receive? Now, we don't have all the recorded words of Jesus. In fact, John tells us in John 20:25, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. We don't have everything that he said. So in saying that it is more blessed to give than to receive, yeah, he didn't say that, but he must have spoken to Paul. He must have shared that with Paul. He must have shared it with the other men. I have no problem with that. And the whole idea is, look, if that is our heart attitude, God is going to bless us. We always think monetarily. Okay, if I give a hundred, then am I going to get tenfold back of that hundred? No, you're thinking the wrong way. How is that being used? How is it blessing people? There's the blessing. When I went to Haiti, I was blessed more than you'll ever know, sharing with these pastors how to teach the Word of God. It was the most amazing thing. They were the most gracious and thankful people I've ever met. Giving you hugs, thanking you, when are you coming back? There's my blessing. I can't ask for anything more. Well, look at verse 36. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. Here are this crowd of Christians on the beach, all gathered together. They're on their knees in prayer. Paul exhorted them how to walk, what to do, and he prays that God would empower them to accomplish that work. And they have this tremendous love for Paul. Why? Well, yeah, he was a brother in the Lord, but I think more. I think they recognize how much Paul gave of himself to them. And he's leaving them to carry on the work, knowing that we're not going to see this man again until we get to heaven. And they're crying, they're weeping, because they love Paul so much. And they hugged and kissed, walked him to the ship that he was going to be leaving on. And so for all of us, you know, we need to serve in humility with compassion. And it may bring tears and trials in our lives. But we need to teach people the things of God, warning and exposing false teaching and false doctrine. False teachers, excuse me. And not holding back. You have to have a heart of a servant. You have to be willing to give of yourself. And I think if you give your life totally to the Lord, if you are focused upon Him, it'll cause you to love people. You see His tremendous love for you. How could you not love others? And I know it's hard, because the world is getting more antagonistic towards Christianity, to the things we believe. It's now in your face, immorality. And isn't it easy to just go after them? Love them into the kingdom. Share the love of God. What if they get mad? Well, sometimes you just got to walk away. You pray for them and you walk away. And that's it. But you will never love people without loving God first. Because it's His love that needs to flow into us and through us. It's more dying to self. And I think when we do, and I'll just close with this, what Paul said in Acts 20:24, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I don't want anything to move me from the course that God has set for my life. I don't want me to be so hung up about this earthly tent that my spirit and soul's in. Yeah, I'll take care of it, but I guarantee you, I could be the healthiest guy in the grave. Doesn't matter. All these bodies are going back to the dust of the earth, unless the Lord comes back before to take us in the rapture. So let's finish the race that God has for us with joy. Because look at the world. As much as they are trying to live as they please, do you see a lot of joy in their life? No. Isn't that interesting? I'm doing what I want. Yeah, but I don't see any joy in that. Something's missing. That shouldn't be missing in us. That joy of the Lord should be seen. And people should say, man, what is going on? I want what you have. When people talk about, you know, my marriage with Julie, man, you guys have such a great marriage. What is it? What happened? What's going on? It's Jesus. You think she would put up with me apart from Jesus? There's no way. No way. I can honestly say that. I know myself. It's all about Him. That joy. Why are you so joyful? None of these things move me. Let's finish the race with joy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these wonderful words this evening. The heart of Paul, the compassion he had for people, just loving them to the end. And he knew the work that he had. He knew the chains and tribulations awaited him, but nothing was going to move him from the course that you had set for his life. And Lord, I pray, help us to live that way. No matter what, there may be a lot of tears and trials in our life, but Lord, may we have that joy and finish the race with that joy in our lives. Finish strong. Help us, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.